a plan aimed at helping Maine seniors live independently as they age. The newly elected legislature will take up a measure with some bipartisan support that's designed to give older Mainers more options for staying in their homes for as long as possible. The so-called Keep Me Home plan includes a $65 million bond to build energy-efficient apartments for elderly Mainers across the state, higher tax credits for older homeowners, and pay raises for home health care workers under Medicaid. But will lawmakers support the added costs of such a program, given that some political observers characterized last Tuesday's election as a vote for fiscal conservatism? I'm Keith Shortall, and today on Maine Calling, we'll speak with some of the architects and supporters of the Keep Me Home plan, and we'll find out why they believe now is the time for the initiative. And as always, we want to hear from you, aging in place with some help from the state. First, this news. From the MPBN studio, I'm Keith Shortall, and this is Maine Calling. With the election now over, it's time for politicians to leave campaigning behind and begin the process of legislating. Speaker Mark Eaves is hoping his initiative to help older Mainers age in place gets the support of his fellow legislators, the citizens of the state, and Governor Paul LePage. Speaker Eaves, hopefully Republican State Senator Tom Saviello, Jess Maurer of the Maine Council on Aging, and Greg Payne, Development Officer with Avesta Housing, all join me today to talk about the Keep Me Home initiative. As always, we invite you to be part of the conversation. What are your thoughts on the best ways to let seniors stay in their homes as they age with some degree of independence? Our phone number, 800-399-3566. Again, that's 1-800-399-3566. Email address, talk@mpbn.net. Tweet at Maine Calling or post to the Maine Calling Facebook page. I joked at the top about State Senator Tom Saviello because he's not with us here. We're trying to find out whether he can join us by phone, but we do have Speaker Eaves with us and the rest of our guests. Welcome, all of you, to Maine Calling.
Thank you. It's great to be
here. Thank you.
Speaker Eaves, let's start with you. We'll get to the topic of the day, but I wanted to check in with you here on the Monday after the election week. The dust is beginning to settle. Indeed, Republicans have chosen their leadership. I know that you're hoping to be reelected as House Speaker, but what's the environment we think we're walking into in terms of the bipartisan potential to get things done, or are there still some wounded feelings in the wake of the election?
Well, believe it or not, I think that we have a great opportunity, and I'm very optimistic about the potential of the next 2 years. Whether it's this Keep Me Home initiative or healthcare, or transportation, or a variety of issues that Democrats and Republicans can agree on, we have really, I think, a historic opportunity to do this together and to demonstrate that we are able to do that. And I know that when I set that tone, when hopefully folks elect me as speaker again, my first priority really is to make sure that we are identifying things that we can find common ground on.
Still on the political front, though, there are a couple of challenges here. One is right after the election, Governor LePage singled you out as someone he really didn't feel comfortable working with and really wanted you replaced as Senate president. So that's not a great start. And earlier in the year, we had State Party Chair Rick Bennett calling the Keep Me Home initiative an out of touch, you know, another Democratic attempt to put Maine in debt in order to create a government program for seniors. Those two together don't make it look like it has bipartisan support, but how would you assess its potential here?
Well, I think we're in a great spot. Earlier this fall, actually, the governor on another radio show had called in and had given his endorsement on the Keep Me Home initiative, the three proposals that are within it. We need to circle back around, sit down with each other. Hopefully that remains the case. And I think what we need to do is really put blinders on. There's going to be a lot of distractions. There's going to be a lot of, you know, potential to get derailed. I am committed to making sure that we stay focused, that we follow through on this. We have a lot of bipartisan support, and we can talk about that later today around this aging initiative proposal. So I am hopeful that if we can stay calm and stay focused, we're going to do really great things over the next 2 years for the people of Maine.
Well, hopefully if we can get Senator Saviello in here to comment from his side, that would be interesting. Well, let's get right to it then. You mentioned there are three components to the Keep Me Home plan. What are they?
So the first is a $65 million affordable senior housing bond. What it will do is create 1,000 housing units for seniors in every county all over the state. There's been tremendous feedback about that part of the proposal. We have gone around the state. We have toured modern facilities, getting ideas about what we might want to do this time. So that's the first part of the proposal. The second part is property tax relief for seniors. It doesn't take many stories to get people to a place where they understand that seniors should not be priced out of their homes because they live on a fixed income and property taxes are going up. The third piece is the direct care workforce. This is something I feel very passionately about. The more conversations I have with seniors about their desire to stay in their home and living independently, the more committed I am to this. We need a direct care workforce that is well-trained, that is there for seniors when they need them to stay in their home. So I've had conversations with direct care workers all over the state, and it is I think an incredible opportunity. It is a crisis, and I don't say that lightly. We really, really do need to address this. We need to make sure that we have an adequate workforce to make sure that seniors can live independently in their homes.
All right, Jess Maurer, let's go to you then. What about this plan do you think is attractive? Why this plan and not some other approach to dealing with the problem?
Well, I mean, every part of this plan is important because older adults want to stay in their homes first and in their community second. And in order to be able to stay in their homes, they need two things. They need to be able to pay for the upkeep of their home. We have Mainers all over, older adults all over Maine, living in houses that are falling down because they can't afford to fix the roof, and they can't afford to fix the mold that's growing in their house or their front porch that's falling off. And so we end up with a lot of situations of blight because, as you know, and I think everybody agrees, older adults are fiercely independent and they want to pay their own way. And they don't want to ask for help. They're happy to take it, by the way, if it's offered, but they really don't want to ask for help. And so they're living in these situations. I work for the Area Agencies on Aging in Maine. We deliver meals to people who can't make their own meals and have no one else to help them. And the number of times we go in and there's no food at all in the refrigerator or the freezer. Those meals are all they're getting for a week. Sometimes those folks, that's the only people they're seeing, but they own their house. I mean, this is pride, right? And so they're going to stay there as long as they can. So the property tax relief is really important. But when they can't get out of bed in the morning, they need to have some help as well. And Mark is exactly right. We are in an absolute crisis where tens of thousands of hours now are going unfilled. So people who need the service can't get the service because we have a direct care worker shortage. And we have a direct care worker shortage because we have not paid them a living wage for so long. We're now in a very competitive labor market with our older and retiring workforce. We're seeing more and more jobs come online. And the people who would have taken these lower paying jobs are able to now compete for higher wage jobs. And these jobs are not the best. And we want the people who have the most passion and compassion for serving older folks to be taking these jobs. And so we need to pay them a living wage. And finally, I talk about the fact that there are those people who won't leave their homes no matter what. You know, they're going out in a black box, and that's what they say all the time, and the people who can't. When somebody can no longer live down the dirt road and keep their house up and live in their house because it doesn't meet their physical needs, they want to stay in their community. And right now, there is no place for them to move. And that's why this other piece, creating affordable housing for older adults all over Maine, is so critical, because we have to give them a choice when they can no longer stay in their home to move into an affordable, reliable, energy efficient home.
Sure. And we do have Senator Saviello on the phone with us, but he can only stay for a few minutes. Senator Tom Saviello, welcome to Maine Calling.
Thank you, and I apologize for not being there. I facilitate a Farm Bureau meeting every year, and this one's gone a lot longer because of legislative issues, believe it or not.
Sure. Well, we appreciate you calling in for us, even for a few minutes. Before you called in, we were talking about, I think, there's a price tag to this initiative in terms of the bond. The governor hasn't been has been reticent to sign off on bonds. There's the expense of the pay raise under Medicaid for the home health workers. Price tag to consider, Senator Saviello. And some would say we saw in this last vote on Tuesday, among other things, a vote for fiscal conservatism. There was that Mainers are still worried about spending money and spending too much money. What are the chances of getting initiatives like this or this very initiative passed in this upcoming session?
Your guess is as good as mine, but I think what people have to recognize is what I call an avoided cost. If these individuals we talk about, and I jokingly say that I'm beginning to resemble one of those senior citizens as a 64-year-old, it's cheaper for me to stay in my house than to go into a nursing home. And unfortunately, we can't figure out a way to take that into consideration when we're putting a budget together. It's an avoided cost. It's not a real cost. I mean, saying that better off putting people into a nursing home and then prove this project as the way to do it because we're taking them out and saving money. That's a very sad way to do things, but that's what we have to take into consideration. The second part that we need to do, which was well stated just a bit ago as I was listening, is that if we can let elders stay at home, if we can help them, if their house is still rehabilitatable, that's such a word, to hit them, get their house back in condition. Presently, that's not in the bill, but the Speaker and I have spoken together about possibility of adding that to it so that we can do renovations. We've just done that up in Wilton, actually in Farmington, with individuals that have to do some heat efficiency upgrades on their house that would make them give that an elderly individual a chance to stay there. And then as far as paying the workers more, I think through Jim Campbell a couple years ago, we actually did some of that. And I think that's got to be seriously evaluated because those are the people who are the first line, if you will, helping keep those seniors home.
Does it make it also more politically palatable, given that you have the proposal is to build these housing apartment units in all 16 counties so that there's no favoritism and everybody gets a little something or everybody gets to address some of the needs of their own constituents?
Absolutely. I think that's what's critical. I mean, we in the rural areas often joke everything goes to Portland, Lewiston, Augusta, and Bangor to have something in Franklin County. They have to help our senior citizens because we have many of them, and many of them that are very poor would be very much more palatable to individuals.
Senator Saviello, thank you. And if you need to go, we understand. If you can hang with us for a few more minutes, that would be great, too. But either way.
I think I have to go. Starting back up again, and I appreciate you letting me call in and moving me to the top. And this is a bill that certainly the Speaker knows that I will work very hard with him on to try to get it passed or some form or another so that we can keep our elders here home in the state of Maine.
All right. Senator Tom Saviello, thank you very much. One of the supporters, bipartisan supporters of the Keep Me Home initiative. With respect to these housing units throughout the state, Greg Payne, you're with Avesta Housing. Is that where the needs are? Are there needs in all 16 counties, or is that sort of more a political move possibly to make it palatable in a year that could be kind of rough and tumble?
Yeah, sure. No, there is a need in all 16 counties. I mean, clearly the severity of that need might be different in one county to another. But the bottom line is that there are folks in all of our counties that are right now living in housing that's either unaffordable or too inefficient or too far away from transportation and services and access to the health care that they need. That's a main problem. That's really not a problem for a particular county or set of counties.
Do you have a sense of this would be 1,000 units? How far short of that what's the full need?
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, we've actually asked a research firm to detail that for us, and they're in the middle of researching that. I mean, I think the answer is probably somewhere in the tens of thousands, honestly, but we're waiting for that report to get released in December, which will give us a real good idea of exactly, as you ask, you know, what would be what we need to fully meet that need. I think the bottom line for all of us who do housing work across the state is that we're simply overwhelmed. I mean, the amount of demand that we see every day from people who don't have a place to live that they can afford right now is astronomical. And so I think that's not just the experience at Avesta. That's an experience that our peers and colleagues across the state have. And so we're just very grateful to Speaker Eaves and to his colleagues in the legislature who are really recognizing that problem and holding it up and having conversations around the state about it.
So what's happening to these people then if they're on a waiting list for assisted living, or are they just staying in their homes? Are they cold? Are they staying with relatives? Where are they?
Yeah, it really runs the gamut. I mean, we have people who are calling us and who call agencies like ours all the time who are maybe sometime with other family members, but that's not a situation that they can stay in. And frankly, they want their independence too. We have people who are calling who are homeless and have nowhere to go. We have people who have their own place, but it's incredibly inefficient and it's not safe for them to be there. And it's obviously very painful to tell them, you know, we can put you on a waiting list, but it will be 3 or 4 years before you're likely to get, you know, access to one of those apartments. And we have people who are living in apartments that may not be horribly inefficient from an energy perspective, but they cost way too much and it's consuming 60% or 70% of their monthly income. And so all of those are problems. It's just there's a real range of experiences people are having on the day that they call us. And the bottom line is, unfortunately, we way too often have to say, sorry, but, you know, the list of people in your situation is very long and we'll get you in as soon as we can. But, you know, it could be years.
I know you want to add something, Jess, but we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we want to hear from our callers. We want to talk a little bit more about Mark Eaves, how this is going to be paid for, et cetera, because there's always a price tag for this. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, you can join us as well. This is Maine Calling. Stay with us.
You make Maine Calling possible, as do Casella, committed to boosting recycling rates statewide through its One Bin, Zero Sort program. Casella, giving resources new life. And the Orthopedic Institute of Central Maine, committed to regaining mobility and getting rid of the pain. JointsME.org.
Giving to me is finding out something that I believe in and then figuring out a way to help in whatever way possible. In seventh grade, I had read a book about giving back, and one of the kids in that book was Craig Kielberger, and in 1995, he started a club called Free the Children in his garage with only a couple kids. I asked my principal for permission to start this club during school, and I was expecting only a couple of kids, a core group, to come in and we could work on different issues. And the first day, 40 kids showed up. What inspires me to give is that once I realized that there was no rules to giving, no matter what you do, every single thing makes a difference. I'm Christy Gillis. I'm a student at Cape Elizabeth High School. What is giving to you?
Voices of Giving is a month-long series of audio diaries exploring how and why people give. What is giving to you? Visit mpbn.net to share and listen to other tales from people across Maine. Voices of Giving is produced in partnership with the Maine Community Foundation.
And welcome back. This is Maine Calling. I'm Keith Shortall. Today on the program, look at a new initiative to help seniors stay in their homes and continue to get the health care they need. In the studio with me, Jess Maurer is with the Maine Council on Aging. Greg Payne is Development Officer with Avesta Housing. Mark Eaves, a Democrat from North Berwick and Speaker of the Maine House. We invite you to join the conversation, 800-399-3566. That's 1-800-399-3566. Email talk@mpbn.net, tweet at Maine Calling, or post to our Facebook page. We'll go back to our guests and to your calls in a moment. First on the line with us now is John Hennessy. He's Director of Advocacy for AARP Maine. John Hennessy, thanks for joining us.
Good afternoon. Thanks.
What's appealing to AARP? I assume you support this. That's why you're on the program. What's appealing about the Keep Me Home initiative that you think will be effective and cost-worthy?
Well, AARP is strongly in support of these initiatives for all the reasons that many of your folks on the panel have already said. back in the summer, we did a survey of over 2,000 members and non-members alike, and that information generated extremely strong support, overwhelming support, as a matter of fact, for programs and services from people who are concerned about their financial security and maintaining their independence as they grow older. We think that the three initiatives already being discussed go a long way to meet some of those needs. And just as importantly, we think that there's the Keep Me Home initiative is like an umbrella. And we know that there's going to be a lot of other ideas presented in this next legislative session that will go a long way to build on these.
How many of those ideas will move toward this concept that we've discussed before on this program when we took up aging in place about creating age-friendly communities? So it's not a building here and a tax relief there, but really a whole comprehensive view of a community as a place that welcomes and nurtures aging residents.
Well, I think what the Keep Me Home initiative has done and has done remarkably well is to raise overall awareness about the crisis that a couple of folks, the word crisis that has been used. We need to create a new sense of urgency about what aging in place means, and age-friendly communities are part of that discussion. It's not the only solution, but it's a significant piece of it. Initiatives that keep people connected, keep people home, keep people in their communities, that's what people in Maine have told us they need.
As has been mentioned, family caregivers are a big part of this landscape right now, caring for elders who have no other place to go for obvious reasons. And we've talked about the fact that this proposal would pay for home health care workers, but these family caregivers largely work with no compensation. How do we address that part? Or should we address that part, given that family members play such a pivotal role?
Keith, we have to address that. We're fresh off of a 25 community tour where we talked to hundreds of voters across the state. Many of those folks are actually family caregivers themselves, and these people are happy to do what they're doing. However, AARP feels that we must work to strengthen the support networks that allow these people to provide that care, and that may mean we are enhancing existing adult daycare services, maybe respite care for those caregivers, and other programs to empower caregivers to continue those vital functions. For example, older workers are more likely than not to be responsible for caregivers, and they may need some additional flexibility in their work schedules or other ways that they're able to provide these services, which ultimately save the state of Maine over $2 billion a year.
All right, John Hennessy, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
John Hennessy, Director of Advocacy for AARP Maine. Mark Eaves, this all sounds great, but of course, and no one would look at any particular part of this and go, I'm not so sure that's a good idea. The big question is, how do we pay for it? There's a $65 million bond. We know how that's paid for if voters approve it. But who pays for giving raises to these home health care workers? Who pays for the cost of property tax breaks for older Mainers? What is that? How much money is that, and who pays for it?
So we are currently working on that right now, and excuse me, actually with in partnership with the current administration, I know the department is looking at the direct care worker reimbursement rate. So they are doing work. We are going to be partnering with them to identify what that dollar amount is and then identify funding sources. And, you know, I've served in the legislature only a short 6 years. And what I have learned is that throughout budget negotiations, when people know that there is a priority, it's usually funded. And I know that that's not a very specific answer, but I think that that is why we are elevating the profile of these issues to make sure that people understand the importance of them and also understand what Senator Saviello said about the cost avoidance nature of this, that the more that we invest in making sure that we can keep people in their home, the more money the state saves long term. And that's critically important when thinking about state financing long term.
There's also a sort of side effect of this on the construction side. If there's 1,000 new units, there may be some economic development aspect to it as well.
There is. And, you know, I wanted to mention, too, besides my work at Avesta Housing, I'm the director of the Maine Affordable Housing Coalition. And A whole lot of our members are the contractors and architects and engineers who build this kind of housing. And I think one thing that's important to say is that that sector has still not fully recovered from the recession. And they are some of the strongest advocates for exactly this kind of proposal. I mean, I think bonding and investing in our infrastructure makes a lot of sense from a lot of perspectives. But those folks who need work, the electricians, the roofers, the plumbers, the folks who do the work of building this kind of housing, they're big proponents here.
So, yeah, Jess, did you want to add something here? Was that what you wanted to add?
Well, no, I guess I would say what I wanted to say earlier is one of the other things that happened when you asked where do people go if they can't find affordable housing. And one of the answers was they go live with someone. And there are two concerns about that. One of them is that they're often leaving the state, which means they're taxed, you know, they're paying property taxes and they're paying potentially other taxes, and they're no longer paying them in Maine. They might not be able to sell their house. We've got this blight issue going on all over Maine with people either living in their homes and having them fall down around them or leaving them. And we also see increased financial exploitation when someone has to move in with someone else that's not a family member. And we have a lot of folks in Maine who don't have family members to move into and because of economic issues are having to live with someone who may ultimately take advantage of them. So there are those issues. And the flip side is looking at what are the economic cost savings that we're looking at. If we can help people move to town centers by building these sorts of houses where we can increase the delivery of healthcare services, we can reduce the stress on EMS and law enforcement because we've got people, firemen and ambulance drivers driving all over rural Maine now picking people up off the floor. Dealing with drug interactions. I mean, there are an awful lot of issues that come with aging that put a strain on the municipal system and helping people, and again, giving them the independent option of living in town where they have better access to services, better access to food, exercise, decreased social isolation. These are all the things we want to do when you're talking about aging-friendly communities. That's what that is giving people an opportunity to really be members of vibrant communities.
1-800-399-3566. Let's go to the phones to Brunswick and Melinda. Hi, Melinda. Welcome to Maine Calling.
Hi. Thank you for taking the call. I'm a senior. I have a friend who is 17 years older than I am, a World War II vet. He's very bright, sharp mind, but he can't get around very well at all, and I help him out a lot. He lives 2 miles away. I don't have a car, and I have a place in mind where we could both live and have privacy, but I could help him out, and I'd like to figure out a way to do that, and I need all the help I can get because the place is available now. I wanted to live there for a long time. And they're doing some repairs to it. And when it becomes available, I would like to move in. I don't have enough money myself. He has Section 8. There is no more Section 8 available in Brunswick. I pay 53% of my income for an apartment now, but I have to be out by March 1st. We both need better affordable housing. And we have no transportation. This house is right near town. It's very, very easy to get around. I'm quite used to walking long distances, so to me it would be very handy.
Sure.
I have another idea that I just talked to with someone last night about. Her children have one has finished college and the other's about to, and they have a big house and they're thinking of downsizing, which many people think of when their kids get, you know, flee the nest. But I was thinking, and they have considered something like this, if each of those people whose kids have left and they have this big house would take in one senior as a tenant, the tenant could be, this is an in-town neighborhood, very convenient.
Sure, sure.
The senior would have company within the house and wouldn't be far from things. And they would have a tenant who could, you know, pay a little bit, maybe not a regular rent
right.
level of rent, but some income, which would help with their property tax.
Sure, Melinda. And this idea, I think, has been tried in some communities. I can't remember, it has a name even, but I can't remember what it's called. But I guess that doesn't matter. But Jess, what are your thoughts? Melinda's call is not atypical of the situation that many seniors find themselves in.
It's not atypical. And the one thing I did want to say, if I can, is to say that for any seniors who are out there who are struggling, I'd love to give the 800 number for the Area Agencies on Aging, because they're certainly not the panacea, but we can help connect folks with transportation options, housing options, can help them do long-term care planning, so it can sort of help answer some of those questions. So I'll give that number, which is 1-877-353-3771. And that's just a great place for folks to call to get their answers on aging answered. But I will say what you're talking about is home sharing. And there is Home Share Vermont, they are actually working with us. And I did want to say that the Maine Council on Aging, in partnership with the Speaker of the House, also launched last spring the Maine Aging Initiative. And we have 5 working groups that are really working on different aspects, including employment and workforce and higher ed and technology and innovation and aging-friendly communities. And as part of that work, we are looking at what are all of the housing options and what are the models out there here in Maine or nationally or internationally that are working. And so Home Share Vermont is going to come to talk to our group next week. They're also talking at a conference, and we're really hoping to learn from them, how do we put a program together to help people who want to share homes live successfully together.
And it could be seasonal as well, right? So during the cold months, you share, and then you can go back to doing all of your own habits that you want to do in the warm months.
It's absolutely true. I'll tell you just a funny little problem, though, is that I mentioned at the beginning that Mainers are fiercely independent, and the Area Agencies on Aging actually tried this about a decade ago, and we found when the oil prices first peaked, and we found everybody wanted somebody to move in with them, but nobody wanted to leave their house. So,
right.
We're going to have to, it's push coming to shove that people are going to, in fact, have to give up something to make these arrangements work.
Right. Let's go to Raymond and Belinda. Hi, Belinda.
Hi. I just have a comment about why we're not using the Efficiency Maine program to update the elderly housing that's out there now. My mom passed away, and my sister and I had to clean out her house last winter, and we spent 3 days in her apartment in a snowstorm, freezing our butts off, even though we had the heat cranked, because it's that old, electric heat, and her apartment's on a slab, drafty windows, minimal insulation, and, they have all these Efficiency Maine programs to help out the elderly, but they're not putting it into these buildings that are falling apart and they're outdated. Mom was running out of money because of how much money she had to pay to keep her house warm. And I know she had that heat. She was sick all the time. She was in that, I think she was in there 5 years, and she was sick all the time because she always kept the heat way down because she couldn't afford it.
Speaker Eaves, did you consider kind of that part of it too in putting this together, and how much of that is in here?
Yeah, absolutely. And this is the starting point for us, and this is such a great conversation we're having here today and that we're going to have during the next legislative session. I think the caller is hitting on something critical, and that is the first step is to make sure that the homes that seniors are living in are adequate, that they are energy efficient. And that's why the Affordable Senior Housing Bond that we have put forward, we need to be creating and building units that are extremely energy efficient. And I have to share a quick story. There's a constituent of mine that I talked with several months ago that was in this similar situation, where she was thinking about the winter and thinking about not being able to stay in her home because of the draftiness of it and a lot of the things that the caller just outlined. She was able to get some help, and she's going to be able to stay in her home. And a lot of that help was sealing up windows and the draftiness. And that was provided through the local community action agency. So another resource for folks if they're looking for that type of resource. But it is something that we will be considering through this legislation, looking at, there's no one size fits all, and we're open to a very comprehensive approach to make sure that we are making sure that seniors stay warm in the winter and that they have housing that is adequate and that they have the direct care workers that they need when they need them.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, more of your questions and comments. This is Maine Calling. Stay with us.
You make Maine Calling possible, as do Abbey Museum, hosting a creative summit November 15th with Twisted Path 3 artists working in an open studio and making a mural. AbbeyMuseum.org. Revision Energy, now offering Own Your Power loans for solar energy systems. More at revisionenergy.com. And Baxter Brewing Company in Lewiston, committed to canning their entire line to protect the beer and the environment. BaxterBrewing.com.
Hi, it's Erwin Gratz, local host of Morning Edition. To answer a frequently asked question, yes, I get up really, really early. And yes, it is pretty quiet at the station when I start, waking you up with the news of what's happened around the world and in our state overnight. Now, truth be told, it's nice to have more folks and activity in here on those mornings. We're conducting our important membership campaigns, but I'd rather skip all that in order to do the job we're here to do, bring you the news you need, uninterrupted. And we do skip many, many days of that with our successful Super Thursday one-day campaigns. So thanks for keeping it going and for doing your part on November 13th.
Welcome back. I'm Keith Shortall. You're listening to Maine Calling. Today on the program, the Keep Me Home Initiative. With me in the studio, Greg Payne is Development Officer with Avesta Housing. Jess Maurer is with the Maine Council on Aging. Mark Eaves is a Democrat who represents North Berwick. He is also hoping to be the next Speaker of the House, having served in that capacity during the last session. Our number is 1-800-399-3566, 800-399-3566. And we should say we did invite Senator Tom Saviello, a Republican representing Senate District 18, who is also a supporter of this initiative. He had a conflicting appointment this morning or this afternoon, but we did talk to him briefly at the top. So we did have a representative from the Republican camp on here who is behind this. Let's talk a little bit, though, before we go to the next call, Mark Eaves, about this. How much more are you proposing that we pay home health care workers so that it becomes competitive, so that we can get quality people, as you've stated, as the goal here?
So Jess talked about a livable wage. What I am extremely interested in doing is making sure that these folks that do the hard work that they do are adequately compensated for them, meaning that they have health insurance, that they're reimbursed for their travel, the time that they travel, that when they do this job, they can live on it, and you don't have this scenario which exists now of people coming in and out of the workforce. So the dollar amount, we are going to define that with the department, with the governor's administration, to see what it currently is, which is roughly about $9 an hour is what the current direct care worker gets. What is needed to make sure that we stabilize that workforce. So we want to make sure that we get this right. I think that this is a time that we don't go incremental, that we make sure that this is an opportunity that we have to get it right. And we're going to be defining that dollar amount with the administration and doing this again. We're going to do this together.
So is the problem that there just aren't enough of them, or is it that we also aren't hiring enough of them? I'm trying to figure. Jesse, you're shaking your head. Explain what the problem is there.
Well, it's a pretty straightforward issue, which is that the department, and it's because of the economy, has not increased rates to providers since 1997. As a matter of fact, the last rate movement was in 2001, which was a decrease, while all other systems cost more, including a lot more regulation and background check. The providers have not been able to provide any sort of increase in salary for workers for more than a decade. And now, as I mentioned, the labor force is starting to really be competitive. And so when I came in this job 4.5 years ago, the personal support services providers were making money on their programs. Now they're losing it unbelievably because they cannot keep workers employed. They will put out a job notice, will have 100 workers apply, we'll maybe hire two people at the end of that process who are qualified to do the work and willing to do the work for that pay. And so it's we're seeing workers who come in, they work for a short period of time, and then they go work for other employers where they have access to benefits and higher pay. And so it's simply a formula that doesn't work. And when you can get a better wage, you're going to go work there, even if that's the work you really want to do, even if that's what you're passionate about.
All right, let's go to St. Francis and Paul. Hi, Paul.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, thanks.
Me too. Your last caller touched on the subject about tightening up their houses through Efficiency Maine. Mm-hmm. I'm a home energy auditor. I'm the guy that goes in the house and tests the house to find out what the problems are. And I offer my service free of charge. The only criteria that Efficiency Maine has is if the homeowner invests at least $200 in air sealing their houses. That means sealing up where the drafts occur in the house. If they do that, then that opens the door for my free testing, and then there's rebates available for different attic insulation, wall insulation, cellar wall insulation, that sort of thing.
So they just need sorry, you're breaking up a little there, Paul. So they need the $200 threshold to get there, and for many that's an impediment, right?
Well, I work with them on that too, because I know I'm up here in Northern Aroostook County, and I know that money is extremely tight. But I'd rather see people stay in their homes than be able to afford to live in their homes than to have to move out because of the high cost of heating. So I work with people and, you know, offer all sorts of suggestions, like using curtains to keep the heat from going out through the windows. A lot of different things that people can do if they know about it.
Sure. And what's the name of your company, Paul, or can we put it on our Facebook?
Oh, yes. Oh, you'll like this. The name of my company is Hole in Your Bucket Audits.
Hole in Your Bucket Audits. Okay.
Yep.
Good.
And my mission statement is saving the world one house at a time.
That's very good. Well, we appreciate your time, and we'll post that on.
They can go to the Efficiency Maine website and find an energy assessor or energy advisor.
Yeah.
And they'll find one in their area, and they can go from there.
All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us. Appreciate
it.
All right. Bye bye. Let's go to Nancy in Camden. Hi, Nancy.
Hi, how are you today?
Good, how are you?
Good. I have a lot of thoughts on what you're doing. It sounds like a great idea. One of the things that I wanted to comment on is your statement, the moderator's statement, that you feel that the past election was a referendum that we should spend less money. I wanted to point out that every single bond issue passed, that Mainers do want to spend money to invest in their state and to improve their state, and they are wise enough to see that those expenditures pay off for them in the future, and those kind of investments.
Yeah, it's a good point. It was not my assessment. It was another commentator who appears with us regularly saw the election as that way.
Yeah. I've heard it from many.
Yeah, yeah.
Not just you, and it's incorrect reading of the tea leaves.
Okay. Well, Speaker Eaves, do you agree with Nancy?
Well, Nancy, I really appreciate the comment, and I think that what is true is that people need to know what the investment is going for, and you got to demonstrate that it's worth it. So that's what we're doing, and that's the conversations we've been having all across the state and communities with community leaders and residents and legislators, and the momentum is building. It really has been remarkable. I really haven't given credit what credit is due in this whole initiative over the past more than a year now. We have been engaged in looking at aging issues, how it impacts our economy, what we need to do. And, you know, Jess had mentioned five working groups. There's 75 people working in five different groups in different expert areas that are really coming up with community-based solutions, whether that's how do we create aging-friendly communities, how do we make sure that we're addressing our aging workforce, a variety of things. And we were able to hold a aging summit last January where over 400 people showed up in the Civic Center in Augusta. Had a great conversation, which led to these groups, which led to the Keep Me Home Initiative Plan. So I have to say, it's great to be able to be part of this, to lead it on some level. But I have to say, it is a huge number of community business leaders, healthcare leaders, municipal leaders, financial institutions. It's just been a remarkable effort. And I just wanted to take the opportunity to thank everyone that has been involved in it.
All right. Let's go to Nobleboro and Carol. Hi, Carol.
Hello.
Hi. Go ahead, please.
Yes, I'm calling to talk about the heating issue, and I was very happy to hear the comments made by it. Also, I simply wanted to tell you a bit about my position. Perhaps it's reflective of other persons. The land that I live on has been in this family since 1742. And the house was built in 1924. Admittedly, it's very drafty, and it's hard to heat. I would be very interested in knowing, since I am on fixed income, I would be very interested in knowing what the cost of the revamping, shall we say, of my windows and things of that sort.
Sure. It's probably another program, but Speaker Eaves, Carol, is, again, another sort of typical story.
That's right. I mean, and I think to reflect back on a couple callers ago with Paul, who does the audits of homes, I mean, that's where the starting point is, to identify where the biggest bang for the buck is. People do not have a whole lot of expendable money right now, particularly when you live on a fixed income. That's a reality that we need to consider as we think about sealing up homes. And it sounds like what I hear a theme today is people want to stay in their homes. They want to be warm. They want to be able to heat their homes at a reasonable cost. And here in Maine, with a reliance on fossil fuels and heating oil, that's a tough thing to do. But I hear loud and clear today that at least the folks calling in this show want that to be a big part of this plan, and we can certainly continue to think through that and talk about it and act on it.
Jess Maurer?
Well, I'll tell you, the one thing that's really been remarkably exciting about some of this Maine Aging Initiative, particularly around the building aging-friendly communities, is identifying these naturally occurring responses to aging that are growing up all over Maine, and that there are good-hearted people who know that it's their obligation to help their neighbors. And so I think it's sort of one plus one, right? You take the resources that are available to you. So you go to Efficiency Maine, maybe you spend the $200 or you put the $200 up to get an audit so you see what's going on, and then look at what's around you, because we've got folks in Booth Bay Harbor rebuilding together, Lincoln County, Seven Rivers, Habitat for Humanity has some guys called the Regulars who do literally one project a week.
How do you find them, though? How does Carol find them, though?
Well, that's a good point. And I think, you know, one is, again, calling the Area Agencies on Aging. They're regionally located, and they have access to all the information. We've got a home builder program out of Eastern Area Agency on Aging, which really helps with reduced cost construction costs for those small projects, and have volunteers that will go in and put rails into your house. They really coordinate with volunteer carpenters. So and what I'll tell you is that the Maine Aging Initiative is about to identify all these and put them on websites as best practices to help people find those.
Let's go quickly to Will in Bath. Hi, Will.
Hi, Keith.
Hi there. You got just about 30 seconds.
Well, I just wanted to put a plug in for what's now a Catholic Charities program that's being rolled out, not quite statewide, but they're opening offices in Augusta, and they're working on Lincoln County. It's called Search, and it's a program where volunteers are matched with isolated elders in the community, and the model has a paid volunteer coordinator, and Catholic Charities is provides all the sort of backup services, background checks, and so on and so forth. And the volunteers visit with the elder they're paired with weekly or biweekly, and provide companionship, maybe go out to buy groceries.
Sure. How do people find that, though?
Well, if they go to Catholic Charities on the website and they look for the search program,
okay,
I'm sure they can find it there.
All right. Well, thanks very much. I appreciate you calling in. I don't want to run out of time though without talking with our guests about what's the next steps for the Keep Me Home initiative. This goes before the legislature. Is that a given? It will be introduced?
It will be introduced. And the next steps are, I've said all along that after the election, we're going to be having a bipartisan aging caucus, which basically are legislators from the House and the Senate that come together that are Republicans, Independents, Democrats that are going to work on pieces of legislation. The three pieces that we've talked about today are just the beginning. There's so much work to be done, and there's a lot of enthusiasm. We continue to get calls into the Speaker's office about how people can get involved. So what I want people to hear today is that, you know, Keith, you started this program reflecting on the different landscape of the politics. The good thing is, the great thing is, we have a remarkable opportunity to do this together. It has been bipartisan from the beginning, and it will continue to be. And I think because of that, it will be successful.
All right. And we will see. Thank you all for being here today. Mark Eaves is a Democrat who represents North Berwick. He's also a Speaker of the Maine House, hoping to be reelected to that position later this week. Senator Tom Saviello joined us briefly at the top. He's a Republican representing Senate District 18. Jess Maurer is with the Maine Council on Aging, and Greg Payne, Development Officer with Avesta Housing. Nikki Shields ran the board today. We had production help from John Bradford and Dan Works. Our intern, Josh Gauthier, answered your calls. And you can find past editions of Maine Calling, as well as a link to our podcast, by visiting mpbn.net/Maine Calling. You can also find our podcasts on iTunes. Maine Calling is produced by Jonathan Smith. Tomorrow on the program, a special Veterans Day edition of Maine Calling. Join host Jennifer Rooks for that. I'm Keith Shortall. You've been listening to Maine Calling on the Maine Public Broadcasting Network.